Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm John Kuzma, and welcome to EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle show, where we talk about all the latest NFL news and action. We're going to recap the Frank Clark trade today. We're going to talk about both sides of it, Kansas City, who gets Clark, and the Seattle Seahawks, who get a lot of draft picks a couple of high-end draft picks for Frank Clark. So let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs trade for Frank Clark and make their transition to a 4-3 defense much smoother. Clark was one of the top defensive ends in the league in 2018. You know, Andy Reid knew he had to do something to improve the Chiefs defense after losing Justin Houston and Dee Ford this offseason. Even though Houston and Ford were let go because Kansas City was switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3 defensive scheme, it was still a lot of talent to lose on that side of the ball. Reid is actually an offensive-minded coach, but he couldn't let things get too out of control defensively or everything was going to blow up in his face. So the Chiefs took a risk and traded a 2019 first-round pick and a 2020 second-round selection for Seattle Seahawks defender Frank Clark. Clark has 35 sacks over the span of his four-year NFL career, and he's definitely one of the top defensive ends in the league. What makes this guy special is how good he is at rushing off the edge. Clark loves to knife underneath offensive tackles and gamble by going inside. It's rare to see defensive ends do that so often, but Clark has such great instincts, he knows when he can get away with it. The other thing the 25-year-old defender excels at is speed rushing off the edge from a two-point stance. When you see Frank Clark standing up, you know he's pinning his ears back and firing on a straight line right to the quarterback. You know, Steve Spagnuolo needed this addition to really flourish in his first season with the Chiefs, and the front office delivered. At least now this football team can keep themselves near the top of the AFC standings, and it will give Patrick Mahomes an opportunity to bring home a Vince Lombardi trophy. You know, without Frank Clark, things would have been much tougher, and they definitely got better with this trade. So, Kansas City, they give up a first-round pick in this draft, second-round pick in 2020, and the Chiefs and Seahawks swap third-round picks, which really isn't that significant. Just, I think, they moved up from 29 to 28. So, really, it's about the first-round pick this year and the second-round pick next year if you're Seattle. But, you know, the Chiefs, they get Frank Clark. Sorry, I was drawing a blank there for a minute. They get Frank Clark. They're going to put him in at a defensive end. And, you know, like I said, they lost Justin Houston. They lost Dee Ford, who were 3-4 outside linebackers. Well, now because Steve Spagnuolo came in to Kansas City, he's running a 4-3 scheme. So now instead of 3-4 outside linebackers, the Chiefs had to go out and get 4-3 defensive ends. Obviously Frank Clark is going to be the guy that, is their ace where they hang their hat on. They're counting on this guy to be, dependable and someone they can rely on for, you know, at least 10 sacks in, 2019. And without Frank Clark, I was a little bit nervous for the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought they were going to take a huge step back after losing Dee Ford and Justin Houston. To me, even though you're going to a different scheme, I don't know if I would have let Ford and Houston go. I might have just kicked them down to defensive end and said, get used to playing in this different system. Obviously, Kansas City didn't want to go that way. They wanted to get guys who matched their scheme. And, you know, now Frank Clark has to be big in this defense like he was with Seattle. The good news for Clark is he did just get a five-year, $105 million contract extension. So he got paid the big bucks to keep delivering on the field. Like I said, 35 sacks over 4 years in the NFL. Those are really good numbers. And, you know, obviously Kansas City had to give up their first-round pick this year, which means they got to use those other picks to keep adding to their roster and, you know, get them closer to winning a Super Bowl. And then next year they give up a second-round pick. So they paid a price to get Frank Clark, but like I said, they were a little bit, you know, not a little bit. They were pretty far back from where they were in 2018 on defense without Frank Clark. Now they're closer to what they were. Really, I think they need to go get another end and keep, you know, improving their pass rush considering what they lost. But, you know, Clark, the biggest thing for him is, you know, transitioning from Pete Carroll's defense to Spagnuolo's defense. You know, it doesn't feel like he was benefiting from, you know, having great players around him. It seems like Frank Clark is the real deal, and he'll be able to pick up where he left off in Kansas City. You know, Kansas City better hope so, because, you know, like I said, they paid him $105 million. So they're heavily invested in Frank Clark, not to mention the draft picks. So if he leaves Seattle and isn't the player that he once was, because of the people playing around him, because of the system, because of the play calls, Pete Carroll calls, or whatever, then the Chiefs are going to be in a lot of trouble. But on the other side of it, Seattle sold high on Frank Clark and added some very important draft capital. With two first-round picks, it's clear the Seahawks plan on making a splash in 2019. The Seahawks have a reputation for always trading down in the draft, and that's why it's so surprising for them to have two first-round picks after dealing Frank Clark. Obviously, losing Clark is brutal and will be a tough hurdle to overcome for Seattle. However, Pete Carroll develops talent better than just about anyone, excluding Bill Belichick, and he does that by preaching technique and turning his players into high football IQ individuals. Clark himself was a second-round pick, but he's playing like a future Hall of Famer. So the fact that Carroll has a chance to now mold two first-round talents is really exciting, because he'll get the most out of those guys. We know this organization has the 21st and 29th overall selections, and that could become Noah Fant and Jalen Ferguson. With this team already being a playoff contender, it makes sense to stay put with those picks and get some really high-end players. Fant would be a vertical threat who can stretch the field for Russell Wilson on seam routes. The former Hawkeyes tight end ran a 4-5 flat in the 40-yard dash, and that will create a lot of matchup problems against linebackers and slower safeties. Noah Fant also put up a 39.5-inch vertical jump at the combine, so you can throw him fades in the end zone and he'll probably come down with the football. Then Ferguson will be tasked with replacing Clark. Of course, the former Louisiana Tech star Ferguson he'll be much cheaper than the $105 million Clark just received from the Chiefs. So he's already, before stepping on the field, he's much cheaper. Meaning going this route will save Seattle a lot of cap space, and Ferguson is a little bit more powerful than Clark was. You know, his 45 sacks in college jump out at you, and Carroll would have enough firepower to possibly make it to the Super Bowl. So Pete Carroll, he dishes Frank Clark, gets a first-round pick, now has two first-round picks, gets a 20 second-round pick. So he has all this draft capital to go on a run. And, you know, he could trade down again with both those first-round picks and stay true to his character, which is be a guy that always gives up the high picks for more picks. So basically trading quality for quantity. Maybe he'll do that again, but I think with how close they are, and by how close they are, I mean, you know, they went to the playoffs last year, and they shouldn't have been able to do that because they lost so many key pieces. But they go to the playoffs last year, and completely overachieve. So another year with those young players in Pete Carroll's system, they should improve. Now, the loss of Frank Clark definitely hurts. And, you know, when a team loses an elite pass rusher, it's always going to set them back. But, you know, if they get Noah Fant and Jalen Ferguson, I think they're more talented than last year's team. And they're going to be very, very close to making it out of the NFC side of the bracket. If Ferguson can be that star he was in college, you remember he had 45 sacks in college. So if that holds true and he translates over to the NFL level, he might be better than Frank Clark. Like I said, Clark was a second-round talent. Jalen Ferguson could end up being a first-round talent. The other thing I noticed when I plugged in the film is Clark is kind of a finesse player. Like I talked about, he likes to knife underneath, which is a risky decision if you're an end, because as an end, you're usually a contained player. And if you knife underneath and the offense recognizes it and bounces the play out wide and you don't have that contain man, that usually turns into a very big play for the offense. So maybe the reason why Pete Carroll traded Frank Clark, because he also noticed that Clark likes to gamble to the inside, and that's leaving the defense a little bit susceptible to big plays. Maybe wanting a guy who's going to play the contain first and then rush the passer, which a lot of coaches prefer in that 4-3 scheme, because if you do break contain as a defense end, it can be very dangerous. One of the most dangerous things for an entire defense, because when you don't set that edge, the plays just keep spilling to the outside toward the sidelines. And, you know, that's when you get gashed up pretty bad. So from what I've seen of Ferguson, he likes to engage and be more physical than Frank Clark does. Frank Clark either knifes inside or he stands up in a two-point stance and just beelines off the edge straight to the quarterback. Ferguson's a little different. He's going to explode out of his stance, and then he's going to engage the end while he's rushing from the outside. And then he likes to use his power to either bull rush and then disengage with, you know, a swim or a rip and get to the quarterback. I also saw that Ferguson's pretty good at closing in on the play when he's rushing wide and the quarterback steps up in the pocket. He can disengage, cut underneath, and get to the quarterback. So those are plays that are really going to help Seattle out. And like I said, he always plays wide first. You don't see Ferguson knife underneath at all. And, you know, Frank Clark, you know, he was so instinctive that he knew when he could gamble and get away with it. And a lot of times that resulted in TFLs or sacks or big plays. But because he does play that style, you know, running backs can get to the edge and create some offense. Now with Clark, he's going to always play wide, like a wide nine technique, and then, you know, he's going to rush wide. It's more traditional for a 4-3 end, and I think Pete Carroll really likes that. So Jalen Ferguson and Noah Fant, you know, what'd Seattle have last year at tight end? I think it was like Will Dissly. So Noah Fant's a huge upgrade there. 4-5 flat speed. He can, like I said, run the seams. He can run the flag route. Those are two huge throws for the offense. The seam, the flag route really helps out the quarterback. And then on defense, Ferguson is, I think he had the most sacks in like college football history in 4 years, 45 sacks. I think that might be the most. So if Pete Carroll believes that he's going to pan out and be a dominant force at in the pros, that would be a great fit for his system. But anyway, I'm John Kuzma. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. Have a great day. I'm signing off.